Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast.
Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England with your hosts Amelia
and Beth.
And today we have a very special guest on, someone who has been on the show before. And not only has he been on the show before, but he is one of our most talked about guests because his first interview was so incredible. So please welcome back to the show, Wiccan High Priest Timothy Regan. How are you, Tim? Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you for having me back. I really enjoy doing this with you guys, so I greatly appreciate it.
Of course, of course. And part of the reason we're having you back right now isn't just because you're so great and, you know, we're in spooky season, the height of it. We have so much crazy stuff going on, but you actually are venturing out into your own business.
Yeah, absolutely. We are, both my business partner and I, Leanne Marama, are opening a shop in Salem called Pentagram, and it is located right next to the cemetery, the old burial point, and the witch trial memorial. And just for a brief second, talk about some of the stuff that's going on. There is a lot of spirit activity going on right now, and especially being next to the cemetery, you guys should really, really do an investigation or something here. It's very, very cool.
Oh, yeah. We would love to do that.
Yeah.
I have Monday night and Friday night available next week.
Swing by anytime.
So, Tim, I'm super excited that you're back. I have been talking about this since we talked to you last time, that I just so enjoyed listening to you talk. And one of the things that we are really excited to hear about is some stuff, your history around Halloween or Samhain. And so what should we know? What is the big stuff that makes it super exciting in the Wiccan world?
So this is one of our main holidays, which we call Sabbats. And the coolest one is probably Halloween. This is the one that everybody knows about. It's the witch holiday, and it's exciting, and it's, you know, trick-or-treating, and all of that comes from the pagan practices which bleed into what Wicca is and what witchcraft is. We call it Halloween in the tradition that I practice, which is Gardnerian. But some people call it Samhain, which was really popularized by some very famous Wiccan and pagan authors, Janet and Stuart Farrar from Ireland. And Samhain is the Irish Gaelic or the Irish version of summer's end. So it literally means summer's end. This is the final harvest out of the three major harvest festivals in witchcraft and in Wicca. It is the time where the veil between the living and the dead is at its thinnest. We get that from the agricultural practices. When you reap your final harvest, you're causing that death. It's the final harvest. It's the death time. The trees start to shed their leaves. So we view it as the earth is going into this slumber. It's going into this cold period. But it's also the time where the spirits of our loved ones are conjured and we connect with them and try to commemorate them. There's several ways of doing that, too. Some of them are absolutely beautiful, like a dumb supper, which is a meal that is done completely in silence. And everybody sits around the table and you place a table setting for your loved ones that have passed over. And you put food there and you offer them to come and join you for dinner. And it's done in reverence. And I will tell you, I have cried many a times at a dumb supper. It's really a very moving ritual. Whether you're a witch or whether you're not a witch, it's still a practice that is beautiful to do and really touching. And this is the time where the Lord of the Underworld, the Death God, whatever you want to call him within witchcraft, takes his reign and he becomes the dark half of the year. Because in witchcraft, we divide the year into two sections that are then subdivided into the eight holidays. And the dark half of the year is ruled over by the god, whereas the light half of the year, which is fertility and spring and abundance, is ruled over by the goddess. And this is the time where we honor him. And this is also where most people get the misconception of the devil being a part of witchcraft. There is no devil in witchcraft, or there is no Satan in witchcraft. The word devil, horribly mistranslated in a couple of places. Some people would say that witches do worship the devil, but it's really not the devil as Christianity would see it. But this is the time to celebrate him and to celebrate the dead is a big part of it. And it's probably my favorite holiday, and the reverse holiday or the opposite holiday is Beltane or May Day, which is my absolute favorite holiday. That's where dancing around maypoles, which comes from Germanic and Northern European cultures, has been adopted into a lot of Wicca and witchcraft as well. And they're just totally polar opposites, and it's so fun to watch those types of interactions. When you work with witchcraft and work with Wicca, and you go through these seasonal changes, you start to really not only assimilate yourself to the earth and its natural cycles, but also you feel yourself going, okay, things change at a very specific time in life. Not to give a sad story, but just 2 weeks ago, my cat of 20 years has just crossed over, which was extremely heartbreaking for me.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you.
That's really that's awful. So sorry.
Her name was Ophelia, and I'm actually looking forward to Halloween, Samhain, to try to connect to her and feel her presence and interact with her, because that veil is so thin.
Are you going to put her little kitty dish out at the table and just wait?
Oh, absolutely.
It's amazing.
To also bring her urn of her ashes. We do this actually every year. I rescue geriatric cats, and most of that was because Ophelia was so old, and I've had her since she was 3 weeks old and nursed her, that we rescue these other cats so that she was more comfortable with older, slower cats. So we take in a lot of old cats, and then when they pass away, we actually keep their urns and bring them out to dinner on Samhain. I am a crazy cat.
So sweet.
Yeah,
that's really nice.
Thank you. So it's a fun time. It's celebration. In witchcraft, we don't view death as being the end. We view it as another journey, because like most religions, we do believe in reincarnation. My personal belief is not that you are reincarnated as an evolved being. I don't necessarily believe that. It's more you are reborn into some form of sentient or living being. I honor that practice. I think it's beautiful, because witchcraft is all about celebration. Unlike some religions where it's about evolving into a higher form, witchcraft and Wicca are all about having fun and enjoying the wheel of the year and spinning the wheel of life. And what is a wheel but a never-ending circle? So there is no beginning and no end, and that's how we view life.
So this is kind of a running joke in my house that we would all like, when we come back in our next lives, to be house cats.
Yes. I mean, tell me that's not the best life ever. I mean, like, my cats get the best treats. I love them. They lay around all day. It's the life. It's totally the life.
Ophelia and Liddy and Thunder and Lightning, they all live like their very best lives.
Absolutely.
Every day.
One of our cats right now is, I know this show isn't really about cats, but I will tell you.
It can be about cats. That's all right.
All day long. One of our cats right now, his name is Geriatric Garcia. He is a giant.
Oh my goodness.
giant cat, right? Like, he's huge. And he literally has the life that I dream of. He gets waited on hand and foot. He's, 14 years old. So we do everything that he wants. And then he just lounges around and occasionally rolls over and says, rub my belly or pet my head. I mean, that's the dream life,
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely.
And he's all white, which is interesting, because white cats in, how everybody says black cats are bad luck, and which is really just a misconception.
That's nonsense. Black cats are totally amazing too.
Totally misconception. And black cats are amazing. And in some cultures, in the African diasporic traditions, they believe that black cats are good luck. So in Ireland, all white cats are actually bad luck. And I'm like, well, I have a black cat and I have a white cat. So there you go.
Maybe it's because the white cat can't blend into the surroundings as easily as a darker colored cat.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that's what it is. Absolutely.
And since everything in Ireland is like super duper green all the time,
yeah,
then I think that a white cat would have even more trouble blending in.
100%.
Sorry, I had to like think about why would that be?
But I think the cat misconception actually comes from, some people believe it comes from Egypt, with Bast, the goddess Bast. They think that when witchcraft was being demonized and they took any pagan culture, because in the 1920s, one of the most famous authors that really popularized the idea that witchcraft is a religion was Margaret Murray, who was a Egyptologist. I think a lot of people said, okay, well, these people worship pagan gods like Bast, so therefore they must be demonic or evil. I like squashing all those misconceptions because black cats have been sacred in temples for a very, very long time.
Yeah. Squash any misconceptions about cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love cats.
Yeah. We have to.
Let's spread more rumors about dogs and how awful
they are. Dogs are difficult. Who wants to go out in the snow and walk a dog, you know what I mean? Where you can cuddle with a cat on the couch and watch a movie. Like, it's perfect.
Right. And all the dog people will say that you can cuddle with your dog on the couch and watch a movie too. But yeah. Again, I don't have to take my cat out and then pick its poop up with a little bag. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, dogs are nice. I like dogs, but I'll tell you, I was coming home from work the other day and I called Paul and I was like, all these people are out here in the rain with their dogs and I'm going right inside.
Yes, that's exactly how I feel.
Because he kind of wants one and I'm like, no.
I do love dogs too. I do love them. But
We love dogs. You know what my favorite kind of dog is?
What?
Someone else's.
No, I'm right on the same page with you. It's I know my lifestyle and I know that a cat or multiple cats fit into that lifestyle. And I just, I know I couldn't handle a dog. I grew up with dogs though, predominantly. So.
And so while we're talking about pets, this brings me to something that I would love to know more about. And that's how do people work with familiars?
So that's a whole subject, and that's a really interesting subject. Traditionally in witchcraft, there is a familiar, which is an animal or a spirit. It could be a spirit. It doesn't necessarily have to be an animal that is living in your home. And they make a psychic and or physical bond. And traditionally, it was by giving a drop of your blood to the cat to feed, or the animal to feed it to them. And it makes a link, because what is blood? But it's that life source. So if you're sharing your life source, the way that
I just want to make sure about something really quick. I'm sorry. I don't have to like have some of the cat's blood come to me, right?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. You're sharing. So you're taking your blood and you're imbuing that cat with a drop of your blood. Okay. We do not sacrifice anything at all. There's no killing of anything.
Well, I didn't even want to like prick my cat's paw or anything.
Yeah, no,
like
me either.
And even more than that, I don't want anything else's blood.
No, I'm not a big fan of blood in the first place. I'm actually a little squeamish when it comes to, they have to tie me down to take blood when I go to the doctors. I'm not a big fan. So, but if I get a cut on my finger, I would give a drop and I put it in the water bowl. It's not like I'm dropping it down my cat's throat, but I put it in her water bowl to build that link, that psychic bond, because blood is your life source. So you're sharing your life source. Now here's the flip side to having a familiar. If you are sharing your life source with that, a familiar is supposed to protect you from any type of psychic harm, psychic attack, magical attack, any of that kind of stuff, whatever you choose to believe. It concerns me only because what happens if somebody is really gunning for you at work and they project that negative energy on you? Is my cat going to take that first attack, that first hit of the attack? And that's what you're essentially doing. So it's really, they're protecting you. Is what a familiar is traditionally. And I have a familiar. I had a familiar. It really does bond you. I had many, many dreams, especially with Ophelia, where she would be talking to me in my dreams and she would be giving me information in my dreams. And that only started happening when I had shared a drop of blood with her. So, but you don't have to, I'm not saying that's required. That's the traditional way of doing it. Some people.
I have a question. Yeah. What did her voice sound like in your dream?
Honestly, what is the actress's name? Bernadette Peters. In my dream, she had the same voice as Bernadette Peters. I don't know why.
Wow.
I'm thinking of Bernadette from The Big Bang Show. So hang on, I have to go find out who Bernadette is.
I don't even remember what she's been in a while, but she had that same voice and kind of a little bit more pompous. She was very, very direct in my dreams. Not a very, hi, I love you, let's cuddle more. It was more like, I need you to do X, Y, and Z.
So, typical cat.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So, and Ophelia, interestingly enough, was a Leo. I think it's funny to have a cat that's a cat sign. So.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. But familiars are absolutely amazing. And the witch trials, records of witch trials during the burning times have a lot of people talking about familiars and the witch's teat and all of those sorts of things. And it's interesting that we actually do give a body fluid of blood or whatever to the cat to make that link, that back then they were also having that same idea, but they thought that the witch was nursing the familiar in some way. And that's what they used to check for. If you had a mole, they said, oh, that's your witch's teat. You have a familiar, you're a witch. I think it's just interesting that we do actually have familiars. And I think that anybody can have a familiar. You don't have to be a witch. You don't have to be a Wiccan. I think it's a great thing to have. I think it's a wonderful bond, and you can develop a psychic link with your cat or your dog or your frog or whatever it is, your bird.
Turtle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fish.
Yeah.
So
ferret.
Is one of the ideas with this, is it animals have just a different consciousness than we do, or different psychic abilities than we do, or instincts, or?
I will tell you, I 1000% think that my cats are extremely psychic. I don't see things. I think I've told you before, I'm clairaudient. I listen and I hear, or I get a sense of something. Ophelia, a half an hour before something would happen, she would be staring at, say I had a bowl of fruit on the table and the apple was going to fall. She would stare at it for 20 minutes to a half an hour before, and then it would fall over. Do you know what I mean? Like, she was very conscious of that type of thing. And we don't, I'm not an anthropologist, I'm sorry, not a biologist to study the reason why animals react to things. But we know that animals, when there's going to be volcanoes erupting and when there's going to be natural disasters, way before there's any physical signs in the environment and barometers of going off, they're vacating the areas because they're well aware of it. I like to believe, and maybe it's just because I'm very folksy, I like to believe that is their natural intuition, their natural psychic ability saying, okay, it's time to flee, this place is going to be danger. And I think that humans have that same ability, but I think sometimes we brush it aside or we turn it off because we're afraid of it, or because it's not something that you would use at your job daily. You know what I mean? So I think that we learn to shut it off. And I think being psychic is all about learning how to turn it back on and paying attention to those signs.
So when I was in middle school, I had this dog, Sandy. It was my brother's dog. And he was this cute little tiny cockapoo, and he was a really, really great dog. And my mom, he was very well trained. So my mom would have me wait for the bus with him in our front yard. And then when I got on the school bus, he would run back to the house and I'd have him on a little leash. And one day, so I was in seventh grade, I was waiting for the school bus, and all of a sudden Sandy starts barking like crazy out of nowhere and pulling me to the other side of the yard. And 1 minute later, a suburban SUV came flying down the street, fishtailed towards a tree. And then it was the 17-year-old, and he accidentally hit the accelerator instead of the brake. So he flew into my yard going 65 miles an hour. And if these are the trees, his car actually went up the trees and got stuck in the wires. And I just remember my mom screaming because she thought like they had hit me because I had run out of the way. Yeah. And it was all the dog like somehow knew and had me like get out of the way of that literally a minute before it happened. And I will never forget it.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did the dog know that?
That's absolutely amazing. Absolutely.
Isn't that weird?
And to be honest with you, we look at those things and we view them as supernatural. But in their reality, that is extremely natural. And I would love that if as a conscious being and as humans, we could tap back into that and realize this is something that was given to us, or we have a purpose for it again. Because I think it would be extremely helpful yes. in day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think like
except humans, if everybody else was able to tap into it as well, you kind of lose the element of surprise there, right?
That's true. That's true. But it would help you maybe not
avoid those danger. Those
items, but danger, yeah. Danger, I think, is a big one. You know, how many times have you been, this isn't even a woman or a man thing, but how many times have you been walking down the street and you have to take a darkened path and something in your gut or your psychic ability or your intuition says, let's not go down there. There's something not right down there. I don't feel well about it. And how many mm-hmm. people say, I just need to be strong and brave and do it. And how many people go, yeah, you know what? I'll take the long way tonight. I'll take the long way tonight. If something doesn't feel right, if the hairs on my arms are standing up and I feel something, I'm going to listen. And it's about training yourself to listen. I mean, we have those inklings of some danger or something wrong for a reason. Mm-hmm. Why not tap into it and say, okay, it may be a fluke. It may be nothing. It may be, you know, it could
it might just be a big chicken pants right at that moment for no yeah. reason. It's okay.
Yeah. And
yeah. better safe than sorry.
Exactly. You know what keeps us alive? Fear. There would be no reason.
Yeah.
Honestly, we would be dead if there was no fear. Listen to that fear. You know, obviously it should be rational sometimes. And, you know, I don't know if you guys ever read Nathaniel Hawthorne's Goodman Brown, but they were, mm-hmm. you know, they were all afraid of the woods. They were all afraid to go into the woods because it was dark. And I, as a witch, I try to force myself to do the things that scare me to an extent. Now, if I get an intuition feeling or a psychic feeling, I'm going to follow it. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's finding that happy medium, I think, sometimes.
That makes sense. I believe in intuition, but more so I believe in energy. And I don't know if those two are kind of like the same thing. But what I find right now more than ever, because everyone is so wound up and on edge, I feel like people are like psychic attacking each other, maybe without even realizing it, or we're all kind of like absorbing it from each other. So what would you say to our listeners on like, how do you prevent yourself from getting in these crazy, energetic,
right,
yuckiness, cycles? If that makes sense? Yeah, it's like cycles or like,
you're like feeding off each other.
That's yeah. just it. Like I was at the store today and some lady like shoved me with her shopping cart and I just like, normally I'd be like, get out of my way. But I just like in my head just got me like so wound up and I'm like, relax.
I mean, I think the key to a lot of that is focus. I will tell you, and right now we have a Mars retrograde going on, so there's a lot of an additional layer of that. And I know the last time I was on, I told you that I think people sometimes overreact with the retrogrades. They take them into being something negative instead of looking at the lessons that you can learn from them or the ways that you can work through them. But whenever anything Mars, you know, Tuesday is ruled by Mars, it tends to be an aggressive day too. So I go into a Tuesday or a Mars retrograde or something that is Martian is the word for it. And I go, okay, what is good to cool the fires instead of fanning them and focusing on, you know, air protection or that sort of thing. I do something cool. So what I do is I will envision myself surrounded in a protective bubble of water to kind of cool those heat, hot, fiery energies of Mars. That's one big thing. The psychic attack thing, I think it goes on all the time because really there's a word in Italian, the malocchia, right? Which is the evil eye, which comes from Turkey and all of these other cultures as well. But it's when people have jealousy or they are annoyed or they want something that you have, they're not doing magic against you and they're not giving you the evil eye by cursing you. But they project that negative energy without even knowing it. And I see this a lot with clients, especially in the workplace. Do you know how many people are jealous of each other in the workplace and hate each other, but then they go and they pretend they're all fake and they're, oh, I love you.
That would be like 99.5% of people.
I 100% agree. And that's the thing. I think the workplace is the place that you need to be the most protected. You know what I mean? And something that can combat some of that energy is actually a Martian or a Mars talisman. I really love carrying around iron cross nails. Not that you guys can see them, but I actually, every day of my life, I carry a charm bag that has two nails made into a cross, and I carry it in my left pocket because iron is the metal of Mars. And what is iron? But it's strength, it's protection. I think we talked about this once before. To have that type of strength and protection around you, you're imbuing your being, just like we talked about giving blood to a familiar. When you're carrying a talisman, when you're carrying something that has the energy or the protective qualities of it, and you carry it with you and you empower it, it then imbues your body with it. So carrying that around also guards you from a lot of that type of attack. Another good thing to do is a lot of, you know, cleansing and warding yourself. Warding yourself is probably one of the biggest things I recommend doing. There's a really great ritual for focusing yourself outside of meditation, which I think everybody should do every day anyways, even if it's using an app on your phone for 5 minutes just to, you know, consciously focus on your breathing. A thing that I do every day is called the Lesser Banishing Ritual of the Pentagram, which is a ritual that intones names of power in Hebrew, and it kind of focuses you and connects you with planetary energies because you're calling upon the powers of different spheres on the Tree of Life, and those spheres all relate to a planet as well. So you're bringing in Jupiter and you're bringing in Mars and all of this. And when you balance yourself with all of those, you find yourself not being affected by things as much. So I feel like grounding and centering and focusing yourself, and you don't have to do that ritual, but something that does something similar where you're balancing yourself. And also just a daily meditation is a good first step. Some people envision themselves surrounded by protective light, which is another great, you know, practice. It depends on what you're interested in, but they all come from the same root. They all have the same purpose.
That's awesome. And as you talk about Mars retrograde and that happening right now, we have had such an insane 2020 that I'm wondering, do you see anything like in the stars or just your own sense of psychic ability that says what the rest of this year is going to look like for us?
Oh yeah, there's a couple of really cool things going on. Obviously, 2020 has been a very difficult year for many people, but there is some hope as we move into late 2020, early 2021. Specifically, on Monday, December 21st is going to be the beginning of it. So it's at the very end of 2020. We have a great conjunction between Jupiter and Saturn that is going to be happening. And it's also falling on the winter solstice, which is one of our holidays within witchcraft and Wicca. And this is going to shape the next 20 years or so into some big actions. Big things are going to be happening for us. It's going to bring about, you know, there'll be changes in business. There'll be breakups and all of those things that have happened. Things are going to start to shift into a way of bringing on some positive changes for us. And I think that with those positive changes, we're going to see new careers. I'm going to shift over to one thing really, really quickly. Whenever there has been a great problem in the world, what usually comes after those big disruptions or those big problems, like coronavirus, like the Black Plague?
Revealing hemlines.
That is a big part of it, because you know what? The conjunction between Saturn and Jupiter brings about great sex life. It actually is going to shift a lot of sex lives. But whenever we have horrible catastrophes that happen, the time period that follows that is the Renaissance period, growth periods, science is evolving, all of those things. And I really think, especially with Jupiter and Saturn, now Saturn is known as a benefic planet. I'm sorry, the malefic planet. So it's not negative, but it has darker energies, right? And Jupiter is the great benefic planet. This is the most positive planet in traditional astrology. So when you have a conjunction between the two of these planets, you're looking at a balancing act. So we went from breakups and divorces and all of these things and weddings being ruined and death. And I think what we have coming up is with Jupiter is going to be all about resurrections. And I think there's a lot of things that are going to shift in a lot of ways that are going to be really, really good. Specifically on Sunday, January 12th, Saturn, which is that planet of restriction, conjuncts with Pluto. And I don't necessarily usually work with Pluto. I use traditional astrology, which is the seven sacred planets, which is the sun, the moon, which are the luminaries or the illuminating planets. And then Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. And I missed something and I don't remember which one I did, but with Pluto, it is the planet of death and rebirth. So we have Saturn going into, a conjunction with Pluto. And I think that's going to make some huge shifts for people. We're going to be cutting loose of anything that is constricting us anymore. We're going to be letting go of anything that constricts us. There's also a couple of things going on with Sagittarius, Friday, June 5th, and Capricorn on Sunday, July 5th. We're going to be having some shifts there that are going to be really affected by Saturn as well. But it's all about letting go of that which is no longer necessary. And I think it's the one thing that I have really been taught, me personally, during this pandemic, is letting go of things that are no longer necessary. I lead a very busy life, a very busy schedule with a lot of different things. You know, I attend a lot of coven meetings. I attend a lot of, you know, I run a coven. I also am a Freemason and a Scottish Rite Mason. And I do all of these things that are social events. And when this first happened, the pandemic, and I literally was just locked in my house, and I was able to breathe and get off the hamster wheel for a little while. And it really refocused me and said, okay, I still want to do these things, but I also need to have Tim time now. And with that Tim time, I'm cutting things away. And I think that that's the actions of Saturn already playing into our lives quicker than it's supposed to. But I think that's the precursor to something even bigger, where we're going to be letting go of things that are just no longer necessary. But the biggest thing for the end of 2020 and the beginning of 2021 is really all about that great conjunction between Saturn and Jupiter, increasing the physical, lustful passions, that things that we find passionate. It doesn't even have to be about sex. It could be about what drives you. What is that thing that drives you? And really focusing on that one thing instead of having your irons in so many different fights. You know, it's do what you want. You know, and I think that that's what we're going to do. And I think that that's really evolving us in a lot of ways, because how many of us are doing things that we just have no desire to do, but we do out of feeling of responsibility for?
I'm starting to feel a lot better about the end of 2020 and maybe the beginning of 2021. It sounds like we're leaving all of this nonsense behind us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a cleansing too. You know what I mean? And we're going to mourn.
I like how you say cleansing and not cleaning.
Yeah. You know, we're going to be leaving these things behind us. We're going to look at the losses and the growths and anything that was going on and allow it to remember it, because if you don't remember it, it's only going to repeat itself, but learning those lessons and moving forward, being better. And I think that's what this is all about. But yeah, I'm optimistic for the end of 2020. I really am. Regardless of what everybody is saying about, you know, the virus coming back and all of this stuff. And I'm not saying that's not happening. That's not what I'm implying. But I don't psychically, not even looking astrologically, psychically, I really feel like that second wave that's coming, if it does, I don't think that it's going to be as aggressive as what was happening in the beginning. I think you know, and I also, even just on a personal level, I took all that was going on and all that negativity, and I tried to form it into something that I thought would do well. And whether that's doing more readings or opening a business in the middle of a pandemic, like, who does that? You know what I mean? But I was like, this is the perfect time to, like the phoenix rising out of the ashes. I think that it's the time to really rise out of those ashes and take control again.
Great. Mm. So about Pentagram, right?
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to coming up. And so what am I going to find when I get there?
After talking about all these planets and conjunctions, mm-hmm. our store is really focused on traditional Wicca and witchcraft. So the root of most magic is either Kabbalistically rooted, or in my opinion, Kabbalistically rooted or planetary rooted. And we are very much so trying to connect to planetary stuff here. So everything in our store is going to be related to the seven sacred planets. So if you come in and you say, I'm having issues with fertility and I want to get pregnant, we have a Venus candle and Venus herbs and all of that, that are charms and talismans that you can carry to help imbue your body with those energies. And really the coolest thing about Pentagram is really the name. Leanne, who is probably the most amazing medium I've ever met in my life. She called me up and we were talking about what we were going to call it. 2 days later, we called each other and at the same exact time, we said Pentagram. And the Pentagram itself relates to astrology and to the planets. So if you map the movement of Venus through the constellations, it forms a perfect star, right? And then the symbol of Mars and the number of Mars is 5. The 5-pointed star is the symbol of Mars, right? Conjoining those together is the bringing the divine feminine, the divine masculine together. And Leanne's obviously a woman. I'm a man. We're bringing these energies together. And that's mm-hmm. what creation is. It, you know, if you were to view, even if you were to look at it as fertility, if you viewed Mars as being the male, the god, and Venus as being the female, the goddess, conjoining mm-hmm. them together is what in witchcraft springs life. It's like Bina and Hokmah on the tree of life in the supernal triangle. You're bringing and creating life. And that's really what we want to have here. And we really want to laser focus on what we're interested in. We do the things that we enjoy doing, and that is planetary magic. And Leanne is very much so into folk magic, and because she is a strega, she's an Italian witch, she likes doing all of those folk customs. So we will have rowan crosses, and we'll have chimarutas, which means sprig of rue, for protection. We'll have horseshoes for luck, and all of those types of talismans. And we have a huge, huge wall and of shelves that is all dedicated to 1-gallon jugs, glass apothecary jars filled with herbs that all have the planetary seals on them that we're going to be hand scooping. It's aesthetically pleasing. Our walls are gold, which is a symbol of growth and abundance and that sort of thing. But we have psychic readings. We have mediums. We have tarot readings. We carry tarot decks. A little bit of everything. And we're really
focused. Oh, man. Am I saying it wrong?
What?
I always said it tarot.
Tarot or tarot is appropriate.
Oh, okay. Yeah, wow.
It actually comes from Taroche, which is the Italian card playing game. And it was...
Taroche. That's Taroche. Fun to say.
Yep. And the Romani most likely were the ones that took it and made it a divinatory tool. But cardomancy, which is what tarot is really, even predates the use of those things in some ways.
That sounds like the most well thought out store. Like from the name, from everything. And I was on Facebook earlier today and I caught a little glimpse of the sign unveiling.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's very nice. It looks great.
Literally. My heart was like pounding out of my chest when the signs went up because it was just such a dream for it to happen. You know what I mean? So it's like, I walk in every day and I'm like, is this real? Like, did we really do this? And it astonishes me.
That's great. Yeah. And not only that, it's incredible that you were, I don't know. All I know is what I see online. So yeah. I don't know how long this has been in the works, but it seems like it came together fairly quick and you guys got it open by October, which is amazing.
I will tell you, I have worked in retail at a younger age and I had been specifically, I created stores. I traveled all around the country and I did big box store openings and I have never opened a store in such a short period of time and been feeling so comfortable with it. We did this in less than 2 months and we're ready to open on the first, you know, it's such a short period of time and we've also been here. We come in at 8 or 9 and we leave at 5 in the morning. So, I mean, it's definitely, you know, a long case, but it's our baby. It's literally our child. So
that's amazing. That's really incredible. And so will you and Leanne be on the floor doing readings for people?
We will. Not on the first itself when we open. We are going to be doing a ribbon cutting with the mayor and doing all of that kind of stuff. And
you know, shaking hands and kissing babies or exactly. Whatever the COVID equivalent is.
Yeah, exactly. Elbow bumps and all of that sort of stuff. Yeah, which is shaking hands and kissing babies is not my forte. I am actually I'll sit in my booth and just do the readings. Leanne is a public person. She loves all that interaction, which is perfect because it's a perfect pairing between the two of us. But right after that, I'm going to be back on my Thursday schedule. And I think I'm doing Thursday and one other day to start. So I'm doing 2 and then Leanne's doing 4 days of reading. But we also have other psychics that are absolutely phenomenal, like Paula Riccio, who used to manage the Magical Child in New York City, which is probably one of the most famous occult witchcraft shops in the world. And he's been reading for like 48 years or something like that. And
wow.
I'm thrilled to have him. And he's a wealth of knowledge. He was actually my teacher in witchcraft when I started training. And he was my high priest Amagus for many years until I started my own coven.
Incredible.
Nice.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So on your last episode with us, you said to Beth that you saw it was the first Tuesday in August, Beth?
Yep.
Yes. And that would be a really big day for her and her career and something big. And it was. It absolutely was. Mm-hmm. And she had a big job interview and she got the job. And it was amazing that you got that with that precision. And we are wondering, do you see anything?
Yeah, so I feel a couple of things. One of the things that I pick up on, again, I hate to go right to Beth because we had that connection last time, but I don't know why, but in my head, I keep hearing, like, I think there's some travel plans or some travel arrangements that I get. And I think there was some travel plans or arrangements last time, too, possibly, that I don't recall.
I've had three vacations canceled on me because of COVID. Okay. So I am really hoping that I can, like, leave the country and go to my exotic vacations.
Okay. I'm going to tell you where your exotic vacations are. That might not be what I'm picking up on, because I am getting – and I'm not – listen, I am all about going to, like, islands and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I love it. But I keep getting much more, I guess if it was Mediterranean, I don't know. I'm getting a little bit more Scotland, Ireland, England feel around you. And I don't know what that is. And I don't know if you've had some plans or have a plan to go there. But I keep getting this feeling of something, British Isles is what I'll say, is what I get. And I do think that it's going to be something that, if you are planning it, may get pushed aside. But then I feel like quickly it shifts and changes and goes back to doing something in a very positive way. So I feel like if they say, oh no, the travel restrictions don't allow this or whatever, I feel like then almost like immediately after, within a 2-week period of time, that changes and then it opens back up for you in some way. So okay. I do get the feeling of something going on there. I do feel good with you overall. There is something going on, a little bit of something health-wise around you that I'm not 100%, and it's nothing scary. I'm not getting big, bad.
Ouchy, oh my God, you should see how big my eyes just got on the Zoom screen.
I get something where I think you feel a little imbalanced to me, and I'm not 100% sure what it is, but
I've been described in a lot of ways. I think this is the only time somebody's ever called me imbalanced. But it might be quite perceptive, actually.
There's just something a little bit off, and I'm not sure what it is, and I don't think it's anything deadly, and I'm not a doctor. So, you know, but
you just play one on our podcast.
But if I was to say something, maybe you should check out an endocrinologist. There's something slightly off, and I'm not, it's nothing bad, nothing bad. So
question.
Yes.
What is an endocrinologist?
If you had a thyroid issue or if you had a hormonal imbalance or something along those lines, they'd be able to do tests to find out what's going on there. Cause there's something that just seems, you feel very hot to me. And whenever there's heat, there's usually something going on internally. And I don't know what it is, but it's some type of something imbalanced a little bit. So
great.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to go on a vacation to the British Isles and I should see somebody about my thyroid.
You can tell me I'm crazy and this, I will take it and I'll be like, okay, that's fine.
I would have no leg to stand on. You hit the nail so well on the head with me that apparently I'll be calling my primary care tomorrow and saying, a psychic told me I need to talk to an endocrinologist and I'm going to talk to one.
Good. I think you should. And I'm telling you, Beth, it's really, I'm not trying to scare you or anything. I really don't think it's anything serious. I really don't. It seems very minor to me, but I do pick up something there. It may manifest in slight hair loss or something, and I don't know what that is, but that's what it seems like it may be coming up as. So
No. Uh-oh. That's not good. That's terrible.
No. Maybe it won't happen. I hope it doesn't happen. That's what I pray for.
But yeah, me too.
Maybe it'll be like leg hair loss.
Yes. How wonderful would that be? Thanks. Positive.
Let's be serious here. Now, are you sure that it's me? It's not somebody around me is having this?
No, it is you. You seem, when I feel what I get, you feel very flush. And I don't know why I feel heat around you. And that usually is a sign of something going on internally.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think you're okay. I don't think it's serious. I really don't.
I'm going to start Googling non-serious.
Oh my goodness, Beth. You said you're going to the British Isles. That's your favorite place in the entire world. Yeah.
It's weird that you started saying Mediterranean because so one of my trips this year was to Ireland and it was canceled. Yep. And my other one was to Greece and it was canceled.
So, okay, and that's interesting that you said that because I was going to originally say something Mediterranean and then mm-hmm. I was like, well, that's tropical. That's nice. That's beautiful. But then something just pulled me back and I went, I don't know. I think that it has something to do with the British Isles. And that's what I felt. So I went with that instead. But I do think that those two things may be linked, and there may be those trips may be coming up in a shorter period of time than you're expecting.
Yay! Because apparently we have to go and have like a bucket list trip if I have some.
Oh my goodness, Beth, you're fine. Jeez Louise.
I will say this. I am totally that same person. I will go, oh no, I stubbed my toe, and I'll go on one of those health searches and be like, oh, that's it. I have to have it amputated. I'm never going to be able to walk right. So I understand. So for Amelia, what I feel for you, I feel really happy around you. I feel energetically, I don't feel anything that I'm picking up negative. I feel very positive stuff around you. I get a big event. I'm not getting travel with it, so I don't know what a big event is, but there's something that's big event coming up.
How soon? maybe this weekend?
I will tell you whatever. I got my nails done. Oh, very nice. Very nice. You may be very surprised. There is something very big coming, and it feels very quickly to me. So whatever this event is, I do get it being life-changing in a positive way. I feel very, very happy, positive way with you. I feel like things are now starting to really balance out, and I don't know why, but not even because of the work you do here with the podcast and all of that. I don't know if it's through other careers or whatever, but I get this strong sense of being put on a podium or on a soapbox in some way. So I feel like people are viewing you in a different light than in your businesses than you had prior. And I feel like with that view, your financial stability is very, very much so on the right track right now. I feel like things are really changing for you. And I also get the feeling like people that normally would not have known about you, connected to you in some way, are now seeking you out. So there's this real flip to where you were prior. And I feel like this flip is actually really, really good for you. I don't know why, but I'm also very drawn to... Sorry, I didn't mean to stop in the middle of a sentence.
This is fascinating to watch him actually, because like his lips are moving and his eyes are like darting all over the place. Like he's looking at a whole bunch of different things and trying out different ideas and talking through them. This was just fascinating, and I had to let people know like what I was seeing here.
Yeah, something not to pinpoint a date again, because I don't want to make people think that that's what happens all the time. But something around like November, the early, late 12, 13, 14. I don't know what's going on around 12, 13, 14th of November, but I get a very positive feeling for you then. So I think you're on a good track. I'm not really picking up on anything negative around you at all. There was something that transpired June, July time period where I feel like heavily stressed with you. And I feel a little bit like, oh my God, this is crazy. And I have all this to do, but I feel like you're in a good place right now.
Yes, that's all very true. July, I moved and it was very stressful, but it was
good.
but no, I am honestly, you know, there's a pandemic going on and I'm also kind of a hypochondriac. And as a small business owner, it's been very stressful, but I'm also, and I think Beth can attest to this, as can a lot of people in my life, that I'm like the happiest I've ever been. Usually yeah. I'm kind of a grouch. And
yeah, she's absolutely calm and smiling, and nobody's yeah. afraid that if they talk to her, she's going to rip their head off.
No, very few. It's like I do well in chaos, I guess, because yeah. things are pretty good. Yeah, my career is doing okay. We won a big award today, so I was pretty happy.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Did you happen to go up on a podium, or was it a Zoom thing, or was it like an in-person award?
So it wasn't. I think what you're referring to there is I did a huge fundraiser in the town I work with, and I got on 6 different news channels. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And I did it through Rotary International. I'm part of the Rotary Club. I'm on the board there. I've been able to get a lot more networking done through that. And you know, within that organization, I'm doing a lot more. So yeah, everything you said was absolutely accurate.
It's just in my mind, I literally get you on a podium and I get people that weren't aware of you now like, oh, I have to. And I think there's a lot of, it must be through that community outreach that they're like, I can connect to her. I can be interactive, because like you, I am also a grouch. I am extremely introverted, and I don't think most people know that about me, but as a psychic, I think that's my protective shield. Like I will interact with all of you, but when it's done, I have to go home and I need, you know, cat time, you know?
Yes. So. I do. I totally know, because I'm the same way. And like I create these positions for myself where I have to interact with people constantly all the time. And by the end of the day, I am like, oh my goodness, I'm sucked out. So, and it's kind of like you said before about how, you know, this hit and it just like all of our priorities in life got changed and taking more time. So, you know, I what you said for me this time, very accurate. As always, Tim, you're amazing. That's why you come back on the show.
And it's not me. It's whatever comes to me. It's not, I try to humble myself with it, because a very good psychic, Alex Palermo, who is the former owner of the Tremonti Room, once told me, the minute that you start promoting yourself and saying that you are an amazing psychic and you are the best at anything, that's when it all goes away. So I don't believe that this is something that is supernatural. I believe we all have this. I think that you just have to listen. And I don't think it's me. It's the spirits, it's the universe, whatever it is, that's where it comes from. So it's not me. I'm just the conduit.
You're an excellent conduit.
Yeah, you do a great job. A lot of people are not that good at it, but you're great. Lightning striking every time.
So you do mediumship readings as well, right?
Yeah.
And so I was just wondering, do you have any certain like favorite memorable ones? I mean, being a ghost hunting podcast, you know, like, well, talk about like maybe a ghost that came and visited while you were doing a mediumship reading.
Yeah, I have a couple of, there's a handful of those. There's quite a few of them. I was doing a seance last year, and the spirit of a gentleman who had passed away in a helicopter crash had come through. And he was a man that was in the service, and I was expecting it to be for a younger gentleman there that was probably in his 50s. So I was thinking like Desert Storm or something along those lines. And it ended up being the husband of a woman there that was in her 80s who had remarried. She had always felt guilty about remarrying. And he came through and told me about a ring that she was wearing, that she still wore the wedding ring. Oh. She had all these messages. He had all these messages for her that was, I really thought it was going to be for a gentleman that if I was to look at him, I would have said he was probably in the service at a younger age. This woman was just so open to the information and the way it came through. And she was hoping to talk to a sibling or something along those lines that had passed away. And this like changed her life, because she had felt so guilty for so many years of remarrying, because they were like star-crossed lovers, and they were, you know, it was sad. It was very, very sad, but that's probably one of the most emotional ones I've ever had, just because I have a soft spot in my heart for elderly women, and I don't know why, but I could sit there and talk to, I live very close to a dementia, Alzheimer's home for elderly women, and I walk through the backyard because it's kind of a neighborhood home, right? And there's like 30 of these women that are living there. And I walk through the backyard because everybody in the neighborhood does to get to the end of the street. And I talk to this little old lady, Maria, at least once or twice a week. And she doesn't remember me at all every single time. And she tells me the same exact stories every single time. And I'll sit there for 2 hours and listen to her talk about it, just because there's so much wisdom in what these people have gone through. And I think if one thing that really upsets me is I think we brush off the elderly too much in this world. And to make somebody who has had a struggle in her entire life with dealing with the passing of her husband feel okay and comfortable with it, and to watch the weight lift off of her, was probably one of the biggest ones. Now, have I had extremely strange circumstances and weird things? Absolutely. I have watched a man walk through, and I don't see things. I have watched a man walk through a wall at a seance before, and I was like, this man just walked through the wall, and I don't know what he's there for, and it had nothing to do with anybody in the seance. It had to do with the location. The bodies of the people that passed away during the Great Fire of Salem were stored in the location of where I was doing the seance, and this was a man that must have passed away during those fires, because he had singed clothing on and stuff, and I was like, I don't know what this means. Nobody knew. Got together with a bunch of other psychics, and they said that they've had very similar experiences, and we've come to the conclusion that that's who he was. I've also eaten over at a restaurant in Salem that was the old prison, and I've had extremely, extremely aggressive experiences there. That if you are sensitive, if you don't like those type of experiences, I wouldn't recommend going there. I went with another psychic who had a short sleeve shirt on, and when we walked out, she had scratch marks on her arm. I immediately got very, very nauseous, and I heard pounding on a wall that nobody else was hearing. So there was a lot of experiences there, and I will tell you, that was an unintentional experiences. We were going to get food, not to interact
be
with.
Be harassed.
Exactly.
What restaurant is it?
Oh, we'll be going, don't worry.
There's been two restaurants in there, but it's the old Salem prison, and I don't remember what the name of it is right off the top. Oh,
that is.
But you also don't want to be like a be seen as like a tourist trap sort of thing either. That
right.
Like all of a sudden all the ghost hunter people are showing up there with their cameras and.
Right, right. I think every place has hauntings. I mean, if we have to be really honest about it, because there's probably not an inch of this earth that hasn't had something or someone pass away on it. I think it's just when those spirits are disturbed, when they become annoyed, is what I would say. I don't think a lot of spirits are evil or aggressive. Even if they were in this life, I haven't really encountered too many spirits of the deceased ones that have been really, really nasty. But I do think that when you're in their space, and what they perceive to be their space and what you perceive to be your space, if you're doing something that they don't like, I think they're going to make it known, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Just like they probably would have done when they were alive.
Exactly. But those are probably the two big ones.
Those were fun. Definitely.
Leanne could sit here for hours and hours and telling you stories. I've not to keep harping on her, but she is the best medium in the entire world. And that's coming from a pure place of honesty. I really do believe that. She is phenomenal.
That's great.
Does she see?
She does. She's clairvoyant. She sees things. Okay. I've been in rooms with her where she said, a gentleman wearing a blue suit and a purple flower in his pockets walking over to you. Like, I could never do that. I don't. Mm-hmm. I've had a very few visual things in my life. Very, very few. And I usually tell people I never have, just because they're so few and far between that if right. you say, oh, there's a possibility and they don't get it, they'll be upset over it. So I just, I don't see things. She sees things all the time. All the time. It's absolutely amazing. And the other person is, and it's not even Lorelai. Have you guys ever heard of Lorelai? She sees things all the time too. Right? Like it's astonishing to me. And I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse. I think
it would be a curse.
Yeah. Yeah. But then again, hearing voices in your head is also a little bit of a curse too, because you're like, am I crazy or is this, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say you're crazy. You're tuned into something that most people just tune out of their head.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a lot of noise in our lives and we choose to listen to other noise.
Yeah, absolutely. I think cell phones do a big part of that too. If anything that cuts you off from being like internally connected, it's going to be all these external, you know, visual audio things that are like, boom, 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 stuff's going on. Let's pay attention to this instead of really living your life and focusing on you, you know?
Absolutely.
TV's also pretty bad about distracting you.
I know. And now I'm wondering, I just bought a TV for the first time in 16 years and I'm like loving watching it. And I'm like, oh, it's going to destroy other parts of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's see. I don't know if you could answer this one, Tim, but who do you think is going to win the presidential election?
I don't have a definitive answer on that. And I will tell you something, another secret about me. I am the least politically involved, mostly for my own sanity. I don't watch the news. I don't read the newspaper if it involves politics. That does not mean that I don't do local politics. I very much so believe in voting, and I very much so believe in dealing with politics. But on a national level, it disgusts me so much that I feel like I'd get sucked into a little bit of a mania trying to look into it, because there was a period in my life where I was like streaming CNN all day, every day to find out what's going on. And I feel like when I stepped away, it was better. But I'm hoping for change is what I'm hoping for. Do I feel like astrologically there are big shifts and changes and letting go of things that no longer work for us? Yes. But I also am not going to force that on anybody. I'm hoping for change is what I'm hoping for.
My next question, kind of related. I don't know if you know about this. Well, it's very related. But when I was 2016 election, right, I was looking up stuff a lot. And I was like getting kind of nervous about it. And because near the end, I kind of saw which way it was going to go. And I got a little scared. And so I started looking up what were psychics saying. And what were astrologers saying? And what were all these other people saying? And the one group of people I found who nailed it were the numerologists. And they all said it was because Donald Trump has 11 letters in his name.
11 letters in his name, yeah.
But Joseph Biden also has 11 letters in his name. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much you believe in numerology, but do you think that the 11 power with names has anything to do with it?
I do, but there's also, you have to take into account timing as well. So when you do numerology, it's not just based on names or birthdays. It's also in conjunction with timing. So 11 is a very powerful number. It's a great place to be. Whereas, you know, other numbers, fours, or, you know, every number has a specific connotation to it. Do I think 11 is a great number to have? Yes. But looking at November and those dates, I would have to figure it out mathematically what's going on there. And I'm not a numerologist. I don't claim to be. I've dabbled. And I do think that there is legitimacy in numerology, but I wouldn't say that I'm a practicing numerologist. But do I think 11 is a very powerful number? Absolutely. It's a number of strength. It's a number of leadership.
Cool.
I had 11 letters in my name, in my maiden name. I just sat here and figured that out. Not in my married name, but in my maiden name. Yep, exactly 11.
And if you add up your birthday, that is the number of, that is your life number. So that tells you what type of energy will affect you with your life number.
So want to hear something really weird? My full name, my full married name, I have 14. And when you add up my birthday, 14.
14. So some numerologists. Five? Yeah. So it would transform into five. Yeah. And five is the number.
I'm a five.
Astrologically, five is the number of Mars, which is ruled, you know, rules over Aries. It's all of that strength and that forwardness and could be aggressive. You know what I mean? That makes sense. You are somebody who talks in front of groups of people. You have confidence in what you're doing and feel comfortable with it. That makes sense for an astrological aspect. When is your birthday?
February 3rd.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you have that. You also, you know, anybody that has, that watery air connection, which makes you a very interesting sign. They can kind of do a little bit of everything. You can float around and interact, and then you can be very emotional, or you can be very headstrong. So that's a great time to be.
Me? No.
Do you have a creative side to you too? Because almost anybody that's born around that time usually has an extremely, and it doesn't have to mean art, but it usually means that you have a very strong creative, adaptive creativity is what I would call it.
Well, we work on a podcast, and I was a teacher.
Yep.
Beth writes a lot.
Yeah.
Beth would make a very good writer.
There you go. Yeah.
I summarize a lot.
Yeah, that makes total sense, though.
Yeah. I'm like, ooh, that's interesting. I have 14 and 14.
Yeah.
But I've never been so happy to be a five, I think.
Five is a great number. I think five is really good. Now, depending on
when I was younger, I like to think I was, you know, like an eight.
Yeah. 5 and 10 is actually my favorite number, which is my birthday. 5, 10, May 10th is when I was born. So my entire life, 5 and 10 has been my favorite two numbers.
Oh, that was my grandfather's birthday.
Was it?
Yeah, it's a great birthday.
I'm better with planets than I think I am with numbers. But every planet has a number, you know, so it can all tie back in together.
Any other questions, Beth?
No, I thought my last one was pretty good, though.
It was pretty good.
Very good.
Okay, so Tim, thank you so much for coming on again and answering our many, many questions. I really appreciate it. Where can people find you? Where's your new store?
So the new store is located at 282 Derby Street in Salem, Mass., which I will tell you is a little misleading. The best thing to do is go to the Old Burial Point or the Witch Trial Memorial in downtown Salem, which is one of the most visited cemeteries in the world or in the country. I don't recall, but the Witch Trial Memorial is right there as well, where you can see the memorial stones for the people that were executed wrongfully for witchcraft. We are directly adjacent to it, so you can stand in the cemetery and see us.
Awesome.
And we will be here pretty in October, open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., if not later. And year-round, we'll be doing 11 to 7. And we have several amazing psychics. And me and Leanne will be here helping people with all of their magical questions, which is really my favorite thing to do when people come in and have, you know, concerns or questions about what's going on with their life, or if they're cursed, or if they're, you know, unhealthy, and what they can do magically. Because I always tell people, even if it's health-related, I don't see what the harm is to going to a medical professional and going to somebody and saying, hey, is there a charm or a talisman or an amulet or something, a candle that I can burn that will bring positive healing into my life? I think all of those things are legitimate, because I think the power of the mind is the most powerful thing in the world.
Hey, do you have any oils, candles, anything for a possible thyroid issue?
We would recommend using something mercury. Mercurial energy is very good for, not mercury, the metal. Obviously,
I was going to say.
That would make you sense. Mercurial oils and candles and incense. Mercury is, you ever see the caduceus on the back of like an ambulance? Caduceus is the wand or the rod of mercury, which is a symbol of healing. And it's actually not truly the wand of healing. Somebody didn't know what they were talking about and took the caduceus and put it on there. The true one is the Asclepius wand, which is the single staff with one serpent wrapped around it. But mercury is great for healing. It's the great balancer. And if it is a thyroid thing, it will help balance that.
All right. So cool. We can find you in Salem at those hours.
Yep.
Do you have a website?
We do, pentagramsalem.com. And I will tell you, it is in the process of being worked on and may not be fully functional until mid to late November, just because that is not my forte. The interwebs is a unknown thing for me. So it's a whole new experience.
Well, thank you for joining us on this Zoom call anyway.
You're very welcome. Okay,
so are you doing online readings for people who can't get there or have health concerns?
We do Zoom. That will also not be really taking effect until probably mid-November. October is way too hectic of a time period for us to be doing Zoom readings. But we do offer phone readings. That's probably my favorite thing to do because I don't have to see any triggers or looks on anybody's face when I'm reading them. I just can have that.
Or wear pants.
But we you can always give the shop a call. Phone number is 978-294-2529.
Excellent. Did you tell us your website's actual address?
It's www.pentagramsalem.com.
Pentagramsalem.com. And are you on the Facebook?
We are on the Book of Faces as well as the Insta thingies, and they're under Pentagram Shop with a SHOPPE.
And so for when everyone is hearing this, either September 30th or October 1st, you're opening.
Yes.
October 1st.
October 1st. Yep, absolutely. We're having the Rotary Club and the mayor come out and do a ribbon cutting. And
very nice.
We're going to have, I think the Salem Evening News is going to be taking pictures as well as friends and family and open to the public. So
excellent.
With 6-foot restrictions and masks and all of that stuff, keeping a scrapbook of our grand opening is going to be quite interesting, telling our, my nieces and nephews, grandchildren, whatever it is, what I mean?
All these people behind their masks.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you again so much. And everyone be sure to go visit Tim at the Pentagram Shop at 282 Derby Street in Salem, Massachusetts, right next to the Witch Trial Memorial. And as always, you can find us online at ghosthuntinginnewengland.com, facebook.com/ghosthuntinginnewengland, on Twitter, ghosthuntingne, or send us a message to ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com.
Like, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. Send Amelia your shirtless pictures. And as always,
happy hunting. There we go. That's my first happy hunting. That's pretty good.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.